Jared R. Lloyd, we welcome you, and I had no idea that you were here. Jared,
yeah,
how are
5 o'clock's already arrived, and, you know, thought I'd drop by.
We appreciate it, Jared. How was spring practice today? What'd you see?
You know, we only get to watch the last little bit, and, you know, we got to watch, a lot of Skelly and a little bit of team stuff, but the offense, it's interesting because the offense was able to move the ball, but the defense keeps getting interceptions and turning the ball over. So, you know, I think there's some good things for both sides of the ball. It's hard to read in spring. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, getting some opportunities. And, you know, I talked to Kelly Papinga today, and he was just like, we're throwing a lot at these guys. Robert and I said the same thing about the offense. And, you know, they're trying to lay that foundation for fall, and so, you know, sometimes the guys are going to have their heads spinning and, you know, going to go the wrong direction. Taysom Hill threw an out route that the receiver didn't go out on, and that turned into a pick six the other direction, and, you know, that's the type of thing you expect in spring. But I think overall, I think there's a cautious optimism. You know, I think they're pretty optimistic about where they're at and how guys are developing, but, you know, they know that the real games, when it really matters, is still a long ways away, so, you know, it's just a matter of building right now.
Jared, the quote that we got today from Robert and I, you may have been there and witnessed this one, is that the defense is a stud. Now, I want to ask, just body language, like you said, you only get to see so much, but in what you're seeing and just hearing from the coaches, how much confidence is there, do you think, with this defense right now in spring?
Well, I think there's a lot, and I think that there's some interesting dynamics here. I think that, with Bronco Mendenhall taking over the defense, I think that there's an element of, hey, this is a guy who knows what he's doing. He's been doing it a long time, and he's been doing it very successfully. And even Nick Hell could be the most brilliant guy in the world, and he just wouldn't have brought that same experience level, that same trust level that Bronco Mendenhall brings. And I think we're seeing some of that. Jan, Ben, you guys know the importance of having guys step up and be on the field leaders. The coaches can do everything right, but the players are the guys that actually go out and make plays, and they're the guys that have to, you know, kind of set the standard that a team's going to be really good. And, you know, that's what I think a lot of the senior leadership, a lot of the experienced guys on that defense, that's what I'm seeing from them. You know, the defense gave up a touchdown, and you know, I think it was Austin Heater that was over there, you know, getting on his guys, hey, get over here. We're running sprints. We don't, you know, that's not how we're going to play. You know, that he's trying to establish that culture of, you know, we're going to be better than we were on that particular drive. We're going to, you know, pay the price for it, and then we're going to get back to work and, you know, go make it happen. And I really think that, you know, a lot of times that really comes down to the players. And I see that at this point in spring. Now, again, you got to translate it onto the field, you know, in fall when you actually start playing the games. But I like that element of player accountability, player leadership, these guys taking it on themselves to make this be a very good team, because there's only so much coaches can do. The players have to make plays.
Even though I think there is some coach speak involved with the comment from Coach and I, the defense is a stud, by the way. It's a great sound drop. One of the funniest guys you can be around without him even trying to be funny. But, I think that the defense is running on like four cylinders right now. You don't have a whole lot of guys out there that you're going to have during fall ball, whereas the offense has almost all of the pieces of the puzzle there, and even Christian Stewart to lead them in the offensive 11-on-11, battles between this defense. So already you have an offense that has a competitive advantage, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think there's some truth to that, particularly like the wide receiver position. Now, of course, you know, they're not having to go up against Jamal Williams as far as the running back. And I like the other BYU running backs, but Jamal Williams can take this team to a different level. He's just got an explosiveness that a lot of those guys, you know, the other guys, that's just not what they bring. And so, you know, the offense isn't at 100%. You don't have Taysom all the way out there. He's out there for Skelly, you know, but he brings a different element. So there's some things there, and I think we've seen it at times. Because, you know, I really think we talked a little bit about it after Robert and I made the comment, because as reporters, we're out there watching, and the offense has seemed to have been pretty successful. But there's also been, you know, quite a few turnovers. There have been quite a few interceptions. I was counting back, and I remember, you know, 10 to 15 picks just that I've seen, you know, interceptions that the defense has made. And when you're an offensive coordinator, you know, turning the ball over is the very last thing you want to do. And, you know, Anaya's talked about that ever since he returned and everything. And, you know, that's I think that sticks in his mind that, hey, we might be able to move the ball, but the defense is also making plays on us and turning, you know, forcing us into turnovers. And so, you know, I really think that that's probably part of what he sees that maybe we don't pay as much attention to, because we see the touchdowns. You know, the defensive guy gets an interception for a touchdown, and, you know, they blow it dead or whatever. You know, when you're in the IPF, you know, you don't even get to find an end zone sometimes because of how the fields are laid out. So I just think it's still spring, but I think he likes having his offense pushed, and he wants people to think, you know, realize, hey, our offensive guys are being pushed, even though, you know, yeah, the defense is missing some of the guys like, you know, the middle backers, like Manoah Pakula is not there, Harvey Longy's not there. You know, talk to Kelly Papinga about some of the outside backers that are missing. There's some guys that aren't there right now.
Jared Lloyd from the Daily Herald on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Jared, was there anyone on the offensive side of the ball that stood out to you, maybe a wide receiver or a running back that was getting some reps?
Well, you can't watch very much of spring and not see Mitch Matthews making plays. And he talked about some of the things he's doing and what he's working on to make sure that he's, you know, doing the best he can to give, you know, both Taysom and Christian right now, but the quarterback an opportunity to get him the ball. And he's out there making catches. You know, I always thought Nick Kurtz is a guy that uses his hands really well. We saw that today. You know, I thought he was out there making plays. You know, he uses those hands really well and goes and gets the ball, which I always liked. I always felt like that was one of the things Cody Hoffman was strongest at, was using the hands really, really well. And I'm not saying Nick Kurtz is at that level, but I like what I've seen from him as far as how he uses his hands to get the football. And, you know, Nate Carter's one of those guys at running back where, you know, he just keeps making plays. And, you know, he's undersized and, you know, he's not super fast, but he just keeps, you know, in practice the situations, he just keeps making plays. He scored another touchdown today. You know, he just hits the hole, hits it hard, hits it aggressively, and gives everything he's got on every play. I love watching the kid play. I really do. I don't know. You know, some people say, well, he needs more, you know, time in, you know, on the field. I don't know about that. But, you know, I like watching him in practice, that's for sure.
One of the things I love to do during spring ball and fall camp is just pay attention to the names that keep popping out of the coaches' mouths. I think you get a good idea of kind of a dark horse guy that maybe we don't all know about who's gonna emerge. And is there anybody that's ringing the bell that way that seems to be a name that's on, you know, on the lips of all the coaches?
Well, you know, I'm thinking specifically right now of outside backers, because I was talking to Kelly Papinga today. I'm working on, you know, an article on those guys heading into, you know, that'll be up on CougarBlue.com tomorrow. And so I really have been looking at Sione Takitaki and Sia Tautu, because both of those guys have been mentioned. I think Mendenhall's talked about both of them and what they've done. You know, I know he specifically pointed at Sia Tautu and what he's able to do. But this BYU defense, when the linebackers are good, you know, and obviously you need the help of the defensive front, you got to have guys behind them to support them. But a lot of those plays are funneled to either the middle backers inside or to the outside, and really rely on outside backers being able to make plays. And so BYU needs people. They need athletes that are going to step up, and when the opportunities are there, going to, you know, get those negative plays, going to get in the backfield and make things happen. And so those are two guys that, you know, we saw a little bit of what Takitaki could do last year. I think we saw a little bit of what Tautu can do. But, you know, those are two guys that Finga referenced that are really stepping up, and he feels really confident about. And I would say that those two have probably been two that I've heard more often that maybe I didn't necessarily expect to hear. I expect to hear Mitch Matthews. I expect to hear Taysom Hill and how good he's doing, because we all know how good, you know, some of those guys are. Nick Kurtz, I think we knew coming in, he's pretty good. You know, I think Brad Wilcox on the offensive line is another guy that I probably, you know, point to as doing a really good job that people keep bringing up. You know, and so some of those guys are probably the names that pop into my head when I think of guys that maybe I didn't necessarily come into spring expecting to hear, but I've heard quite a bit.
As far as home run capability coming out of the running back spot, the only guy that I've really seen that has that home run ability to run away from players is, you know, a guy like Jamal Williams. But close to him is that Nate Carter individual. I love me some Nate Carter. And, you know, he's been making waves for like the last, like, what, three seasons now in like spring and like fall ball. And even when he did see some time last year, were you impressed with him, Jared? What does he need to do to get some more playing time?
Well, I think he's got an interesting challenge. And again, he was impressive when he got on the field, but a lot of his time on the field came when he was fresh and defenses were worn down or you know, the game was in hand. And, you know, the problem he runs into is, you know, he's not quick enough to make up for his size, but he is the type of player that can get lost behind, you know, those big offensive linemen, the big defensive linemen, and then he can find a hole and hit it and make something happen. He's not easy to tackle, but, you know, I think that, you know, I think he's limited as far as that goes because he is small. I think, he, you know, once you get a hand on him, guys bring him down. But he can be explosive through the hole. To me, he's a poor man's Jamal Williams in that sense. He's just not as big and physical and strong. I mean, Jamal Williams can break through guys and then be explosive and run away from guys. You know, Nate Carter can be explosive. I don't know if I've seen it necessarily as much where he can break a lot of tackles. But he's the type of guy that, you know, when he gets the opportunity, he's going to give you everything he's got. He's going to hit the hole. He's going to be the type of player that he is. And he's really beneficial, you know, particularly for the BYU defense to go after a guy like that that's going to hit the hole like that. I don't know how much time he's going to get on the field. I think a lot of that might depend on, you know, the ability of Jamal Williams and maybe the growth of a guy like Squally Canada who's coming in or some of these other running backs. Some of that might depend on where, you know, Nate Carter's niche is. But, you know, like I said before, he's fun to watch. I love watching that kid go out and run the football and do the best he can with, you know, he gives it all. And that's and has a lot of success at practice and has had some success on the field. I don't think he's an every down back. I really don't, just because of his size. And I think that, you know, that's a drawback, but I think he could be an explosive change of pace guy that could come in and give you something.
I have to ask you this question every time I come in, but can you give me my Taysom Hill update? How's he looking? I try to act like I don't care, that I'm like all confident. Oh, he's gonna be fine. But I just have to know, how's he look? How's he look in person? Is he bright and shining like usual? Is he? How's it going over there for him?
It's tough to tell in Skelly. I mean, he's putting the ball in the money. He's making good reads for the most part. I know he had a pick six today, but that was when it looked like the receiver was supposed to go the other direction. And, you know, so he threw it to a spot where he thought the receiver was going to be and he wasn't there. You know, I think he might have had another pick that was a tipped ball over the middle. He's not perfect, but I love the windows that he's looking at. I love how he's looking off defenders and trying to make things happen. But again, you know, when you're just playing Skelly, you know, you're not getting the same, you're not getting the pressure. You're not getting, you know, that you're not seeing him run around very much because that's not his job in Skelly. You know, his job's to throw the ball. You know, and when we've seen one-on-ones, he's been pretty accurate in, you know, some of those drills and things. But I would say that in my opinion, he's really looking good for what he can do right now. But I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot more than that here in spring. We're just not. It's not going to be till fall camp till we learn where he's really at, what type of strides he's made, what type of decision making, you know, he's going to make this year as far as that goes. And, you know, we keep telling the same stories. He's going to use his athleticism. You know, the team wants him to run out of bounds and slide whenever possible. And, you know, it's the same old stories that we've been telling for the last few years. But I think he's right on. I think he's pretty close on schedule, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. But I think that, you know, he's doing what he can do right now, but I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot more until we get to fall.
One of the questions I have for you, too, is one of the things that's become, interestingly enough, a lost art at BYU, which is bizarre, is a tight end position. We haven't seen, you know, a big-time tight end over the last few years, and keep hearing the name of this young man, Brian Sampson, and wondering what you think about him. Is he going to be the guy, and do you think that they're going to utilize the tight end more this year?
Well, and I think one of the reasons for what you said earlier about not having the tight end is that they've split up the responsibilities so much. You know, I mean, Dennis Pitta played a lot of flex tight end. He flexed out and went out, but he could also stay in and block, and so he got a lot of those reps as well because he was talented in both areas. You know, I think that a lot of the reps for that, you know, for that flex tight end have gone to Taron Houck, and he's been, you know, he's had flashes where he's been very good. I think BYU needs the Brian Sampson. You know, Colby Jorgensen had a nice catch. Sampson had a nice catch today. They need those guys to be involved in the offense. You know, I wrote about it for an article on CougarBlue.com today because, to me, that is a vital role in this offense. You've got to be able to have guys that can stay in a block and help the quarterback have more time but also slip across the middle. They need to be able to find a seam. They need to be able to find windows. You know, those 5 to 10 yard routes that are so crucial to keep the chains moving. You know, the tight ends have to be there in the middle. They have to have really good hands. And that's, you know, that's the question. You know, I've seen flashes of it here in, you know, here in spring, and I like that. But, you know, it's the type of thing that, can you do that consistently? Can Taysom Hill rely on you that every time, you know, you do that little 5 yard stop or little, you know, that little 8 yard out or in or whatever, can he throw you the ball and know you're going to go get it, make the catch no matter who's there, and get the first down? Because if he can't, then he's going to go back to his outside guys that he feels more confident with. So that's what I'm seeing develop right now. They've got to develop that chemistry and that confidence that these guys are going to make catches. And I'm seeing good signs of that. And, you know, but I really think that for BYU's offense to be at its best, it needs Taron Houck. It needs Brian Sampson. You know, even other guys like Colby Jorgensen, some of the guys they moved around, you know, Tanner Baldry, I think, is on the tight end list now. And some of these guys, they need to be confident in what those guys can do. And again, the verdict right now, I think, is cost, you know, like a lot of things. I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I think they can, but now will they? That's the question.
Why do you think Coach and I is not familiar with the term and the feeling of happiness?
He's a coach. Come on, you guys have had coaches. How many coaches are really happy with their unit? I mean, and that's the the question that was asked was, are you happy? I think it was offensive line. Are you happy with where the offensive line's at? I mean, how many coaches, honestly, have really been happy? Even when you've had a great game, they can always find something else that they want you to be better at, can't they? I mean, that's all the coaches I've seen that, you know, yeah, we played really well, but we can get better at, you know, all these other things. So, you know, that's where his lack of happiness is, in my opinion, is he wants these guys to be at their absolute best. And you look at the teams BYU is playing, they better be at their best if they want to win football games. They're gonna be tested this year, and you know, that emphasis starts now. We want you to be the absolute best football players you can be to make this the best team that you can be. So, yeah, I don't blame him for not being happy with the offensive line right now, because I don't think he'd want to take him out and pin him up against Nebraska right at the moment. I think feels like there's too much work to be done first.
Jared, I appreciate your insight and very informative here for Cougar Nation. Look forward to doing it again. Any articles you're working on that you can tease for us?
Well, you know, got the look at the outside backers, which I think is good. We'll of course do something on Robert and I coming up, and you know, Robert and I for Wednesday, and then I think I'm hoping to do something on the new strength and conditioning coach coming up as well, because you know, I think that's an interesting story. I've talked to a lot of guys, and a lot of guys are very high on what he's done, you know, to be able to really help them zero in on what they need to improve on in their specific positions. And I want to go, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to him and getting some thoughts from him about what the team, you know, exactly his approach and how he sees that affecting the team.
A lot of people like new, anything new, bright and shiny. We like it, right? Until it breaks down. So hopefully it is a good story, and hopefully the new strength and conditioning program does pay dividends. Jared, appreciate you. And let's do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you.